Please turn to Acts chapter 20. One of the many places where the Apostle Paul travelled on his third missionary journey was to the city of Troas. This, of course, was not the first time that Paul was in Troas. Indeed, the Apostle stayed in this city on a number of occasions. Acts 16 verse 8 and 2 Timothy 4 verse 13 would indicate this. However, it was during this visit to Troas in Acts chapter 20 that we are told that Paul had a most unique worship service. Not only did he preach all night, but during his preaching, a young man by the name of Eutychus, who was in the meeting, fell asleep and fell down from a third loft and was killed. Look what it says in verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, I'm sure this is a familiar story to most of us, if not all of us. Thank God the story has a happy ending. Eutychus was raised to life again, and the church assembled at this time were greatly comforted through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. This incident here in Acts chapter 20 emphasizes to us the importance of meeting together for public worship. Child of God, sermon audio is good and very useful, but it should never be a substitute for God's people meeting together on the Lord's Day for public worship. This meeting in Troas in Acts chapter 20 sets out clearly the New Testament standard for God's people during their public worship. Not only do we see here God's people meeting for public worship, but we can see what happened when they met for public worship. Therefore, very simply, at the end of our service today, I want to draw your attention to some of the things that are mentioned here in connection with public worship. We should never take this privilege of meeting together for public worship for granted. We should always thank and praise the Lord that we're able, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, to come together and to meet around God's precious word. And not only to meet with one another, but more importantly, to meet with the Lord. And that's what Paul and these believers were doing when they met together in Acts chapter 20. Now, what do we learn here? Well, the things that I'm going to point out you already know, but it's good to emphasize them again. And I pray as we turn to God's word that the Lord will remind us, those of us who are saved, that the Lord will remind us the importance of meeting together in public worship. Now, first of all, I want you to notice the day that was specified for public worship. Look what it says at the beginning of verse 7. Underline these words. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together. The first day of the week, of course, was Sunday. And of course, it was the first day of the week that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again after his crucifixion. Now, let us just remind ourselves of this. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 20 and turn over to Luke chapter 24 for a moment. I wonder, do you know why we meet on the first day of the week? I'm sure that most of you do, but let me ask that question to the young people in the meeting today. Do you know why we meet together on the first day of the week? Well, the answer to that, of course, is because on the first day of the week, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Look what it says in Luke 24 verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, They came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. After the resurrection, the disciples of Christ met for public worship on the first day of the week, and not on the seventh day, which was the Saturday. Now, of course, you will know that before the resurrection, God's people met to worship God on the seventh day of the week. But after the resurrection, the Christians, the disciples of Christ, began to meet on the first day of the week. The day for public worship, in other words, had changed. And it had changed because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this first day for public worship, of course, was known as the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day. We read that, of course, in Revelation 1, verse 10. You'll remember when John was in the Isle of Patmos, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, we read these words, Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Again, the apostle there is emphasizing the first day of the week. Therefore, Acts 20, verse 7, is clearly teaching us, and simply teaching us, that after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day for public worship had changed, and that the disciples of Christ now worshipped on the first day of the week. Now, this does not mean that men like Paul stopped going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Indeed, in these studies we have read throughout the book of Acts that Paul went into the synagogue on many occasions on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. But, of course, you and I know that the reason why he did this was to preach the gospel to the Jews in order to point the Jews to Christ. But, of course, the time came when even Paul stopped entering into the synagogue. We found this out a few weeks ago. Let me just remind you of that. It's important that you connect all these things together. Just take a look again at Acts chapter 19 and look at verses 8 and 9. And here we read these words, and he went into the synagogue. So he's going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which is the Saturday, the seventh day, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. He did this over a period of time, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So he went into the synagogue in order to point the Jews to Christ. Now, of course, the Jews rejected Christ. The hierarchy of the Jews rejected Christ. The synagogue rejected Christ. We read in verse 9, But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. He went out of the synagogue and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And if you were here that week, we studied that portion of Scripture. We emphasized that that was the time we believed that Paul eventually separated from the synagogue. But the point I want to make here is this, that the Christians, the disciples, those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah and as the Savior, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they began to meet on the first day of the week. That was the day for public worship. The Lord's Day. Now, the cult known as the Seventh-day Adventists would try to tell us that we should still worship on the seventh day of the week. That's the Saturday. But as we have seen, the day was clearly changed after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 20 verse 7 is clearly teaching us that the Christians were now meeting for public worship on the first day of the week. The Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day. And that's what we learn there in Acts chapter 20. And for those of you who have never really noticed that before or wondered why we meet on the first day of the week, learn it now. Especially the young people. So important that you see that. Isn't it wonderful that we can meet on the first day of the week? This day reminds us. Not only have we the privilege of meeting together and meeting with the Lord and singing the praises of the Lord, but this day reminds us that we serve a living and a resurrected Savior, one who is alive forevermore. Thank God every time God's people meet on the Lord's Day to worship the Lord. It is a wonderful testimony to the fact, to the truth, that the Son of God is not in the tomb, but He is risen. He's not on the cross. He's alive forevermore. And He ever lives to make intercession for His people. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, child of God, let us rejoice today that we serve a risen Christ. And the very fact that we're here in this Lord's Day, this first day of the week, worshipping together, is proof, is one of the evidences that the Savior is alive and that He is alive forever, forevermore. Isn't that a wonderful encouragement? Isn't that a wonderful encouragement? We serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. And praise God, He's living within our hearts and in our lives. We know Him as Savior. Someday He is coming again. And when He comes again, He will receive us home to glory. What a day that's going to be. When the living and the resurrected Christ comes the second time back to this world. Oh, may God come and help us to rejoice in the fact and the truth that the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, reminds us that Jesus is alive. But notice, turn back again to Acts chapter 20. You'll notice something else about this worship service. Not only will you notice the day that was specified for public worship, but you will notice the ordinance that was emphasized during public worship. Look at verse 7 again, the latter part of it. It says, when the disciples came together to break bread. Before the Lord Jesus ascended back up to heaven, and you'll know this, most of you, after His resurrection, He commanded His disciples to remember His death. And of course, this is the reason why we have the Lord's table, why we remember His death in His appointed way. Again, keep your hand in Acts chapter 20 and turn over to Matthew chapter 26. It's important again that we see the link and that we understand why we have the Lord's table. In Matthew 26, verse 26, we have Christ instituting the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Look what it says. Again, these words will be familiar to most of us, but maybe the younger folk today in the meeting, they're not familiar to you. Well, read them and underline them in your Bible. Look what it says here in Matthew 26, verse 26, down to verse 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and break it, and give it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So here we have the Lord, and just before He went to the cross, He instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And again, this portion will be familiar to most of us. But it's good to compare what is said here to what is said in Matthew chapter 26. Because here we have Paul, and he comes to speak about the Lord's table. Look what it says in verse 23 down to verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, which just after reading it in Matthew 26, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper took place on the Lord's Day when the disciples met together for public worship. And that's what we have there in Acts chapter 20. We have God's people coming together to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And they're remembering the Lord's death. Some people believe that the Lord's Supper should take place every Sunday. I personally have no objection to that, but I believe as long as the Lord's Supper is being held on a regular basis, then that's sufficient. As you know, we here in Bethel observe the Lord's table the first Sunday morning of each month. The Lord's table, as we emphasize, is a simple act of remembrance whereby the saints of God remember the death of Christ upon the cross. We remember a body that was broken for us, and we remember precious blood that was shed for our sins. And it's so important that we remember the Lord's death on a regular basis. We must also emphasize, and of course we do emphasize this every time we partake of the Lord's table, that it is a simple act of remembrance. We don't believe in transubstantiation. We don't believe that the bread turns into the literal body of Christ and the wine turns into the literal blood of Christ. That's, of course, popery. We believe that the Scriptures clearly teach that it was and is an act of remembrance. And ever from that night when the Lord instituted this ordinance, God's people have been remembering the death of the Savior from that time to this. And God's people will continue to remember the Lord's death in this appointed way until Jesus comes again. And here we have the disciples. They're meeting together on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. The day has been changed because of the resurrection of Christ. The Lord changed the day, and the Lord gave the ordinance and commanded the disciples, when you come together, remember my death and remember that I have shed my precious blood for your sins upon the cross. Isn't it wonderful today? Isn't it wonderful that the Savior has died and that he has shed his precious atoning blood? And you and I, of course, who are saved, we are redeemed for all eternity because of that sacrifice that the Savior made on Calvary's middle tree and Golgotha's brow. That's something else we should never take for granted. We should never take the privilege of the Lord's table for granted. We should never take the worship service for granted. As we come Sabbath by Sabbath to meet together to worship the Lord, and we should never take for granted that the Lord Jesus laid down his life, a ransom for the many, for you and I, that we might be saved and have everlasting life. Thank God we're going to heaven. We'll never be in hell. Someday we're going to see the King in all his glory. Why? Because of his death. And because of his resurrection, because of the work that he accomplished upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, when he laid down his life for our sins
upon the cross. Maybe you're not saved today. Maybe you're not a Christian. Well, let me tell you, the Lord loves you. He loves you. And I can prove that He loves you because the Bible tells us that He died upon the cross to save you. He suffered and He agonized on the cross so that you might have everlasting life. He died for you. And that's why Jesus died. And every time we partake of the Lord's table, every time we remember His death, we are remembering that suffering that He went through for held guilty sinners upon the cross. My friend, come today and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and He will save you because He has died for you. And not only has He died for you, but He has risen again. And because He lives, you can live. You can live eternally. You can live everlastingly if you come and trust Him today. And now, take a look again at Acts chapter 20, and you'll notice something else about this worship service. Notice, thirdly, the word that was magnified during public worship. So we have noticed today specified for public worship. We have noticed the ordinance that was emphasized during the public worship. Well, notice the word now that was magnified or preached. Look what it says near the end of verse 7. It says, Paul preached unto them. Underline those words. When the disciples met together for public worship on the first day of the week, in Acts chapter 20, not only did they remember Christ's death in His appointed way, but they also met together to hear the word of God preached. And as verse 7 indicates, Paul preached a very long sermon. Look what it says in verse 7. And he continued his speech until midnight. Now, I don't know what time the service started at. It doesn't indicate here, it doesn't tell us here when the service started. But it went on initially to midnight. Now, you wouldn't think too much of me if I went on to midnight. In fact, that would be another reason why you probably wouldn't come on a Sunday night. I'll get that in. If I went on to midnight every Sunday night. But here we have Paul. And as he preaches, he gets liberty. And as he gets liberty and preaches God's word, he preaches a very long sermon. Indeed, Paul preached so long that a young man fell asleep, fell down, and was killed. So it's not a new thing for people to fall asleep in a service. Not a new thing. In fact, it's something that has happened down through the years. And this wasn't an old person that fell asleep. Some people think it's only old people that fall asleep. Here we have a young person falling asleep. And something tragic happens. He falls down from this loft and he's killed. Look at verse 9 again. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. When he fell, he was killed. And then after Eutychus was raised to life again, and because that's what happened, what a wonderful story it is here, you'll notice, and this is an interesting fact as well, Paul continued speaking all night. Now just think of it here. Now, I have to say it was a very unusual worship service. I said that at the beginning. But look what it says in verse 10 and 11. And Paul went down and fell on him, that's Eutychus, and embracing him said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten, he talked a long while, even till the break of day. So he departed. That's the Apostle Paul. You know what that teaches me? It teaches me that these people in Acts chapter 20 who were at this worship service, they were enthusiastic to hear the word of God preached.
He preached to midnight. Then this incident took place. And then Eutychus was raised to life again. And then until the break of day, Paul continued to speak to them, to talk to them, to preach to them. What enthusiasm these people had to hear the word of the Lord. Oh, that God in these days in which we live would give us a fresh enthusiasm to hear the word of God preached and declared. Notice a number of things here very quickly. I'm going to go through these very quickly. First of all, there was no substitute. There is no substitute for the preaching of God's word when God's people meet together for public worship. There's no substitute. Now, there's nothing wrong with someone coming along and singing. There's nothing wrong with someone giving a word of testimony. There's nothing wrong with having some community singing. There's nothing wrong. But there is no substitute. That's why the pulpit here is in the middle of the church here. It's not stuck away in the corner somewhere where you can't see it. The word of God is the most important when it comes to public worship. Titus 1 verse 3, listen to these words. The apostle says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And we know that it's through the preaching of God's word that sinners are saved. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we read in Acts 6 verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And of course we have seen throughout these studies, as Paul has gone on these missionary journeys, as others, the apostles have preached the word of God, that many have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the preaching of the word of God. And what we need to do today, we need to pray that God again will bless his word as it goes forth. For this is God's ordained means to reach the lost. Not only is it God's ordained means to reach the lost, it is also through the preaching of God's word that the saints are edified. Ephesians 4 verse 11 and 12, you read these words. And he gives some, that's the Lord, apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ through the preached word. And that's what Paul was doing in Acts chapter 20. As the disciples met together on the first day of the week, the Lord's day, remembering that Christ had risen again, that he was alive, they remembered his death in his appointed way, and as they met together for public worship, the word of God was opened, and the word of God was preached, and the word of God was expounded, and the word of God was taught. And God blessed the church. And the church grew. And the church was greatly advanced through the preaching of God's precious word. You see, the importance of God's people to meet together for public worship is vital. It's vital. And that's why it is so important that you and I do not neglect our attendance at public worship when it comes to the Lord's day. You see, here in Acts chapter 20, we can see the importance of God's people to be in attendance when God's word is preached. When God's word is preached. Child of God, there's no excuse for you not to be in God's house on the Lord's day. No excuse, unless you're sick, of course. And yet, the truth is that many of God's people seem to find any excuse not to be in God's house on the Lord's day.
And many of God's people neglect public worship. But we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 10, and it's a verse that you know so well. And here the apostle is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 25, and I believe it is referring directly to public worship. Not forsaking. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We're living in evil times. We're living in wicked days. And it's not easy for the Church of Jesus Christ. The devil is doing everything to weaken the body of Christ, and he comes from every angle in order to do that. He wants to weaken the body of Christ. And that is why it is imperative, child of God, that you and I thank God for this blessing that we have of being able to come together. Sabbath by Sabbath, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, to meet together. To hear God's word, so that we might be built up on our most holy faith, that we might be encouraged and strengthened. Especially in this day and age in which we live. The devil wants to keep us away from God's house. The devil wants us to keep us away from the public worship of the saints. He wants to keep us away from fellowship. That's the devil's purpose. If Satan can get the Christian, a Christian, away from public worship, away from the fellowship of the saints, it'll not be long until that Christian backslides and goes back into the world again. Now I know, friend, you can sit in church every week and be backslidden. I know that. But you've got to see what I'm saying in the context of what I'm saying. It's a means of grace. God has given us means of grace to help us on to God. And one of the means of grace is meeting together week by week in public worship. Oh, I pray that the Lord will write His word upon our hearts. Now, there's one final thing. And I want to point this out to you. I want you to notice that the Lord will be glorified, and the Lord is glorified in the public worship of His saints. You know, in all these proceedings in Acts chapter 20, the Lord's name was glorified. The Lord's name was uplifted. Everything that happened here from the beginning of the meeting to the end of the meeting. The Lord is always glorified, child of God, when God's people worship Him in His appointed way. And surely that ought to be the desire of all of God's people when we meet for public worship, to uplift and to glorify the name of the God of heaven. To glorify and uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're all familiar with what the Catechism says. The Catechism asks the question, what is man's chief end? And of course the answer is man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I pray as we worship the Lord week by week, as we come together to hear His word and to remember His death in His appointed way on the Lord's day, that our worship will uplift Christ and glorify Him. My friend, if you're in this meeting today and you're not saved, I want to finish by saying this. What would glorify the Lord in your life today? Well, the answer to that question is simple. If you would but come and put your trust in Christ as your Savior. You come to God's house week by week. You listen to God's word. In many ways, you're so faithful in coming. My friend, you're still outside of Christ. You're still unsaved. And God is not glorified in your life. because you're still rejecting the very one that we have come to worship today. But if you were this moment, if you were but to come and put your faith in Him, turn from your sin, and acknowledge Him as your Savior, that would glorify Him today. I'll tell you, there would be singing in heaven, praises declared in heaven. There would be rejoicing in heaven today over you, the sinner, coming and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, what a Lord's Day this would be if you would come and be saved. You're dead. You're just like Eutychus when he fell from that third loft. And he was dead. You're dead. Oh, not physically, but spiritually you're dead. And trespasses and in sins. That's what the Bible says. That's how the Bible describes you. Dead in trespasses and in sins. But oh, wouldn't it be great this afternoon if you would come and trust Christ as your Savior. You'd be raised to life. You'd be transformed, changed for all eternity. I pray that that will happen. May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the simplicity of Thy truth, Lord. And O God, we thank Thee for the blessing of meeting together in the Lord's Day to hear the word. May it ever be in this church, Lord. May it ever be in this church. O God, I pray that You'll come and bless Your word in these days. We know, Lord, that it's the entrance of Thy word that giveth light. O God, bless and encourage Your saints. And for those, Lord, who are still strangers to grace and to God, reach down, Lord, and save them. Raise them to new life in Christ. O God, answer prayer. Do it for Thy glory and Thy great name's sake. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen.